Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The man says to Jesus, "If you can help us, please have compassion, please help us." And Jesus says to him, "If I can." And he says, "All things are possible for those who believe."
Danica Cooley on Focus on the Family Minute.
And the man says, "I believe." And then immediately after that, he says, "Help me with my unbelief." And for me, that's such a great picture of how we like to depend on ourselves. And we just really can't do in our own strength the things that we want to do. So I pray that prayer all the time. "I believe, help me with my unbelief. I want to lead my kids to you through your word. Help me to open the Bible today. You know, I want to do these things that are righteous and good, but I also don't want to do them."
Yeah.
"I also fail."
No matter what you're facing today, remember to rely on God's strength for help. And hear more from our conversation with Danica at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has known for over 50 years that you have a choice when it comes to garage door services. That's why they utilize only the finest garage door materials and equipment, and their fleet of fully equipped service vehicles are ready to serve your maintenance and repair needs quickly and efficiently. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hey everyone, it's Susanna Luthi with Free Talk California. Welcome. Always bringing you the news and the commentary that the people running the state don't want you to know. My guest for today fell through. However, he will be here later this month. He is a former White House official under former President Donald Trump, and we're going to be talking about the COVID response in 2020. And I talked about it last week. I really wanted to bring him in, and that's happening, but that's in a couple of weeks. So for today, you just have me. As always, if you wish to opine, question, rebut, etc., please call 238-KPRL. Looks like we have a caller already. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to say regarding your last show last Monday.
Yeah.
I found it so, I was emotional. I mean, I'm kind of a wuss that way, but when you admitted, you were the first one I've ever heard admit that if they could have done things different during the pandemic, they would have. And that was just so honest. And I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate your honesty, and it was it was beautiful, I think.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, because it's one of those things where at the time you don't, you know, it really is a test of courage. And when you think of yourself in a certain way, you think, oh, I will be courageous if it's ever tested. I will speak up for the truth. And then as the situation unfolds and you find yourself economically dependent on maybe not speaking the truth, not following your conscience, questioning everything, kind of falling into groupthink, it is tough, and it's not easy to admit, but it is a shame that I live with. And not just on that topic, other things.
But Saving Private Ryan, and I wonder which one of those characters I would have been. I'm afraid I might have been the guy who couldn't make his body go up those stairs. He was so locked up in fear, and I worry, but I'm glad that I didn't have to, that I don't so far have to have proven or disproven who I am in a crisis like that. But I appreciate your honesty, and it was so disarming. It was very nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for your call. So on that topic, we'll have someone who is behind the scenes on the government side talking about that. That won't be next week, but the following week. So do bring your questions and your vents and complaints, because it was such a weird time. It was such a weird time. You think this is America. We love our civil liberties, and yet there we were listening for what we were allowed to do that day from governors saying that we couldn't visit parents and grandparents in nursing homes and couldn't attend funerals and couldn't send our kids to school, all those things. It really, I think, is to the detriment of our society and our government and our future functioning that there has been no reckoning. So that's my two cents on that. Speaking of kind of courage and standing up for what we believe in this time, I was just struck. I was kind of going through headlines to figure out topics for today. And none of these stories really will be big topics for today, but pretty much all of them left me scratching my head and thinking, how is this ridiculousness happening at all the top levels of local, state, and federal government? And how are all of us with common sense just cowed into going along? Is there a way we don't have to go along? But let me illustrate it. First story was from over the weekend, and it's a story that broke actually a little while ago, but it looks like the national media just caught up. I did not write about it personally, but it's about this massive luxury residential tower in Los Angeles that is being built by a private developer who got a contract to build homeless housing for the homeless. And obviously that is a very lucrative contract. Kind of, there's been a lot of reporting on how it's just kind of endless money going into all of this stuff. Obviously we had the state audit finding that the state spent $24 billion without even knowing where that money went. So obviously any good grifting company is going to say, oh, I'm going to do this now. So that includes, just a couple months ago, Santa Monica approved a 122-unit building that is going to cost more than $1 million per unit. Yes, Santa Monica lawmakers just thought that was a good thing to do. So anyway, so this is a 19-story tower. It's set to open in Skid Row in L.A. It's going to be swanky with luxury amenities, including a cafe, a gym, and a TV lounge. We're trying to make our little corner of the world look and feel a little better, said a local, looks like a local activist in this Fox News story. And obviously, it was launched alongside a developer called Chelsea Investment Corp. And it is supposed to help solve all the problems. The benefits include a soundproof music room, a computer room, a library, a TV lounge, and 6 large balconies. And it will have a commercial kitchen that will also serve, and you can't make this up, a 600-bed shelter right next door. This is in a city where the mayor, Karen Bass, has spent $67 million to house 255 people so far. So there's that. So we're all going along with that. And no one is doing anything about it. There's no internal whistleblowers. There seems to be no even sense from public officials that there should be accountability or that they need to worry about accountability or that they need to worry about the any blowback from voters or constituents. So there's that. Then last week in the story probably got around, this isn't a California story, but it could happen here. So in Spokane, Washington, where I looked up the crime stats, they're very high in Spokane. Both property and violent crime is far higher than the national average. Lots of murders, lots of car thefts. Anyway, last week, some drinkers at a pub saw some teens leaving electric scooter marks over a pride mural that was painted on the street. A woman who went on camera and was totally serious about this came out and said, well, we couldn't just stand by and watch a hate crime. So according to the police statement that I looked up, there were several 911 calls about this. Get this. This is in a city where crime is very high. And it sounds like there's been not a lot being done to control that high crime rate. So several 911 calls, and three teens, one 19-year-old and then two who were underage, were arrested, and now they face up to 10 years in prison, potentially. I have not gotten that confirmed. I reached out to the Spokane Police Department to see what exactly was going on. So I haven't heard back yet, but that's according to news reports. And the officers say they observed widespread damage. Well, there are photos of this widespread damage. There are some little skid marks. They're pretty faint, as one would expect. And because this alleged malicious vandalism was done on an electric scooter, on electric scooters that were owned by the company Lime, Lime is now going to remotely disable their scooters if the scooters are used to ride over pride murals. So, yes, that's where we are. Of course, over the weekend, there was also, and I'm not the first to make this comparison, over the weekend, there were pro-Hamas demonstrators in Washington, D.C., holding up a fake bloodied head of Joe Biden and calling for for intifada in the United States. And defacing historical statues. And as far as we know, none of them were arrested. But yes, this pride mural was a priority, one that was painted on the street, let me mention. So anyway, it's just stories like that. Sometimes I just think, well, this stuff is too stupid to last, but then it keeps happening over and over again, and no one really does anything. And what are people afraid of? I guess, you know, these activists who are drinking in a pub, or these people who are drinking in a pub and say you're committing a hate crime, and then the police go along with it. It just seems to me that this doesn't need to be happening. And just like the... Let's go back to the COVID example. Where are the people just in the here and now speaking up? Wasn't there anyone with common sense sitting in that pub? Aren't there any people with common sense in Santa Monica who would just be like, you know, go to the city council meeting and say you're not going to approve this? How does this keep happening? So anyway, if any of you have thoughts about that, because we have our own local issues as well. We definitely do. So What are we doing about them? And one thing I will say, because a lot of the ridiculousness is happening in schools. I just heard a really atrocious story from a parent in one of our local school districts of something that happened to his son. I'm not going to go into it because I'm not just I've not asked permission to, but it was atrocious. Happened to his son. The school district is trying to cover it up, and he's trying to uncover it. School district is refusing. But again, how did we get to this point where the school district feels like it can cover up something that is very, very bad, very serious, should get them in a lot of trouble? No one seems to be really worried about consequences. So on that happy note, let's dive into kind of the meat of the show that I wanted to talk about. So there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about that's kind of happening quietly in Sacramento right now that affects our pocketbooks and more, and because it doesn't get a whole lot of coverage, do want to make sure everyone knows what's happening. So we've touched very briefly on the show about California's home insurance crisis. The problem is that home insurers are fleeing and people are having a very hard time, sometimes an impossible time, buying insurance that they're required to have, because going without is not an option. And while it's not so bad on the Central Coast yet, probably will be because it hasn't seemed to have abated and in fact is getting worse in many parts of the state. So Governor Newsom has not really been doing anything on this. Last fall, he issued an executive order telling the state insurance commissioner, who has his own questions about competency, issued an executive order telling him that he better fix it. Nothing's happened. Things have just gotten worse since last fall. About 45,000 additional homeowners have had to turn to this emergency state plan called the FAIR Plan. It's supposed to be an insurer of last resort for fire insurance, and it just has very limited coverage and very high prices. And so for fire insurance, homeowners have chosen to just forego it because they can't afford premiums, which have tripled or more. So anyway, so Newsom last week decided to lay out a plan that could get tucked into the budget legislation, which is going to, it has to pass at the end of this week. In about 5 days, it has to pass. And budget legislation is always good to look at because it's where a lot of law is made that without any public scrutiny or input. Provisions are kind of tucked into the budget, kind of like in on the federal government level, where everything is just stuffed into a spending bill that no one has time to read. So Newsom's new plan kind of boils down to letting insurance companies hike their rates more quickly. He says that needs to be allowed so they'll stop leaving the state. And so basically, we probably have to be watching this because with very little warning, premiums can go up very, very quickly. So that is something to watch, and that's going to be part of the budget bill. There's some other things, and I'll just kind of tease this because we are going to break soon for messages from our sponsors, but there is another little provision tucked into the budget that actually threatens the independence of the process we do have in our state for appealing tax rulings from the state. And people will glaze over with this, but we all know that California taxes are high and the California tax agencies are very aggressive and unforgiving. So basically, and this is analysis from the California Taxpayers Association Chief Tax Counsel, so he knows what he's talking about. So Gavin Newsom, we've talked about this on the show. Governor Newsom promised no new tax hikes to deal with our huge, huge, huge state deficit. But that didn't turn out to be true. There's about $18 billion in potential tax hikes in the budget. And on top of that, it has this kind of sneaky provision that the California Taxpayers Association found that retroactively overturns an Office of Tax Appeals ruling. So some background, I didn't know any of this, and that's why I wanted to bring it up on the show, because it is a big deal, because this is kind of our ability to fight any unfair taxes coming at us from the state franchise tax board. So basically, the Office of Tax Appeals was created in 2017 by a law called the Taxpayer Transparency and Fairness Act. So that law stated that, quote, taxpayers deserve to have appeals considered by an independent objective panel with sufficient expertise and a sole focus on tax issues. Any appeals forum must issue decisions in a transparent fashion, relying on well-established precedents in tax law and providing open public access and choice of representation, and building a record that both taxpayers and tax administration agencies can rely on. Well, the issue with that is previously all tax appeals were decided by officials who were elected just to do that. So voters could decide if they liked these people who were deciding tax appeals. And this law basically made all of the made the head honchos of this appeals board political appointees. And suddenly all the 13 of the first 14 people who were appointed to this panel had worked for California tax agencies. And then, because there was outcry, because there was concern, there was a move to hire some people from the private sector. But all in all, this tax appeal board, which was supposed to help taxpayers, has proven to be very, very, very tough for anyone who wants to dispute taxes that they believe that were wrongfully charged them. We will continue this right after these messages from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. The best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs. Everything you want.
News. I'm Kathleen Maloney. Former President Trump meeting virtually from Florida with probation officers, another step in the hush money case.
The probation officer reviews the case, examines the defendant's personal history, and then prepares a report. Those conclusions will go into the pre-sentence report. That will go to Judge Juan Merchan and recommend a sentence for the former president.
Fox's Eric Shawn. The Trump team is appealing his guilty verdict. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on another trip to the Mideast, urging Hamas to accept President Biden's ceasefire proposal.
Since the president put the proposal forward, countries throughout the region and around the world, as well as international organizations, have all endorsed.
Blinken speaking in Cairo after meeting with the Egyptian president. He will also meet with officials in Israel. America is listening to Fox News.
Marv Station, formerly Clem's, 6700 El Camino Real in Atascadero, is under new local ownership, and it's better than ever. Clean, fresh look, a mini mart that's second to none with the friendliest staff around, clean restrooms, and at Marv's, you'll find the most competitive gas prices, and they accept CFN and Pack Pride. Find out for yourself. Marv's, they've got it all. 6700 El Camino Real, Atascadero.
Welcome back, everyone, to Free Talk California. We are taking on the very fascinating topic of tax appeals, but bear with me. I do think this is important. So, as I mentioned, when this whole tax appeal board of political appointees was created in 2017, and they started hiring most of the people they initially hired were from California tax agencies. Anyway, so since 2017, This Office of Tax Appeals has proved to be very tough for any taxpayer with a grievance. And this is a pretty alarming stat. 63 opinions released by the Tax Appeal Office just in May, only one gave the victory to the taxpayer. And according to the California Taxpayer Association, this is consistent with how this board has ruled since it began. So if you are a taxpayer who has a grievance against California, you really have to make sure that you have a watertight case. You're probably not going to win. So one of these watertight cases was an appeal from Microsoft, actually, it concerned a pretty weedy case about California's tax treatments of dividends from foreign subsidiaries. So this has to do with Microsoft is obviously a huge multinational corporation. Most companies don't have foreign subsidiaries, but the precedence of this is quite something, because basically what Governor Newsom has done is inserted in this budget proposal, which is a must pass and probably will pass, basically overturns the decision that was made, because this Office of Tax Appeals had to side with Microsoft in this case, because the plain language of all law was on Microsoft's side. And Governor Newsom wants to retroactively change the law that was used for that tax appeal decision, wants to change it so Microsoft would lose. So the precedence that this sets is quite something. And it's something that we should all be aware of, because our state is in deep financial trouble, and it does not appear that our tax base is going to recover anytime soon. We have a very high rate of unemployment. We have a fleeing tax base. A lot of middle class and higher income people are just leaving the state. We have a whole bunch of people who are the people coming in who are dependent on benefits. Just case in point, the latest numbers, population numbers that the state showed that more people left the state, a lot more people left the state, taxpaying people, and that the even though we gained some population, all that population gain was from international immigrants, and this at a time when we're now offering free healthcare to undocumented immigrants for the first time since January. So all these things, we have to pay attention to what the government is doing, what the state is trying to do with our taxes. So, anyway, if you want to read more, there is an editorial in the Orange County Register, which is how I saw this. But the California Taxpayers Association is following it. And you can look up their website for more information. So, on the social news front, more Sacramento stuff. So you may have seen by now that the Protect Kids California proposal, which we have discussed at length on this show, failed to qualify for the ballot. It was a long shot campaign. It was an underdog campaign. We have talked on the show about how the Attorney General's office, which is responsible for coming up with the language of ballot initiatives, created a title that basically condemned it, said that it was about restricting trans kids' rights, said, and this was not, this is very misleading, said, because there is one provision in that ballot initiative to say that it would ban hormones, cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, and surgeries, body-modifying surgeries, all of which are irreversible, and all of which have effects that we are more and more learning do a great deal of harm to these kids, affects their health for the rest of their lives. Anyway, the Attorney General's language for that particular provision was that it might, if these kids were not allowed to get these drugs and surgeries, it might go against the advice of their doctors. So anyway, it was a long shot. It was a long shot, effort. They were not able to get any big funders, which is pretty much necessary for a successful initiative in this state. It's a huge state. It's very expensive to campaign. It's very expensive to get feet on the ground and volunteers out on the ground. It costs a lot per signature. Every signature that you gather costs money. And, you know, I heard from people who were close to the campaign that there was a lot of social pressure behind the reason that wealthy people did not want to put money out there. So people are still very much afraid of being hit by activists, of their businesses being hurt, maybe just afraid of social stigma if they're, you know, part of a wealthy society, which they probably are. It is still considered, at least in this state, it's considered bigoted to stand up for the rights of these kids who are being rushed through this medicalization into lifelong dependency on the medical system without any checks, without any curbs. And girls are being forced to compete against boys in sports, and they're being called bigoted if they object. And kids are also being psychologically and socially transitioned at school without their parents knowing. Saying any of those things are bad goes against the California consensus. So apparently that did have a big dampening effect on the ability to fundraise. And it was just one of those things where, you know, maybe if one person had stepped up, you look at what Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling has managed to do in Scotland and throughout the UK. She has really made it possible for the tide to turn because she put herself on the firing line. She was very wealthy. She is very wealthy. She was willing to stand up for all the other women who are not wealthy, who are being fired from their jobs, for objecting to gender ideology and the entry of gender ideology into there were women getting fired for saying that men could not be women. And J.K. Rowling stood up for that. We just haven't had that kind of voice in the United States, much less California. So in any case, that ballot initiative failed. They were able to gather over 400,000 signatures. They needed almost 560,000 to qualify. Obviously, they needed a lot more than that to be sure that they qualified. So that was a blow for this campaign. But I have been thinking about this kind of in lines with how I opened the show of just the, at what point does the trend of the power in our society just grows so ridiculous that it just can't go on anymore. And this is one example of that. You know, all the ideas behind the ballot initiative at protecting kids from this medical industrial complex, protecting girls' sports, which is also under attack on the federal level through President Biden's Title IX regulations, making sure that parents can just protect their kids' sanity at school and not have to send their kids to school thinking some activist teacher is going to interfere with their vulnerable child's mental well-being and sense of self and self-confidence and all those things. the ideas, as I said, are popular. And the optics, when you take a step back and you just look at it and you think, I've been to the school board meetings where the activists scream. They're not the most impressive. So it's a question of, you know, why would we be scared of the screaming? When you take even the activist screaming, when you take that out of the equation, when you look at the California Teachers Association, which is the most powerful teachers union, was behind the school closures, keeping the schools closed for so long during COVID. They've basically been on the wrong side of every issue. And they're bullies. We've seen it over and over again. They are on the side of pushing kids into chopping off their healthy body parts. I mean, just think about that. Just think about that sentence. They are behind that. So how long can they just keep going being behind that? I mean, I did ask the same question after the school closures. I thought, can they retain power after keeping California schools closed longer than any other state did? And we are still seeing the fallout from that. We're still seeing kids, so many kids who haven't returned to school. We are seeing schools shut, or they need to shut because the population has shrunk so much. We're seeing really bad behavior. We're seeing still plummeting literacy. Kids can't read. They can't do math. I did think that was going to spell the end of the teachers union. It did not. But look what they're doing now. It's just actively pushing and promoting putting kids on this pathway to medical harm, sterilization, mutilation. So at what point does it just reach a point where everyone can just say, this is a travesty? It's also a tragedy. So can it just end on its own? And I think I am an optimist on this front. It took a long time and it actually has not happened that anyone behind the bad COVID decisions, I will compare it. It's a very different issue, but the mechanics of it are very similar. The forcible top down social shaming to get us all to comply with these agendas, very, very similar. So it took 4 years for everyone to basically be so embarrassed about where they stood with COVID that they're just denying from Anthony Fauci, who is at the forefront of all the policies that led to the lockdowns, to Governor Newsom. They all are so embarrassed about their old positions. So I do, even though there's no accountability, they are embarrassed. And it's going to get there with this gender stuff too, because it is there already in Europe. All the major European medical associations are calling for an end to this, especially when it comes to kids. And the UK and Scotland are starting to stand up for, guess what, the definition of women. And acting like women are real. The United States is an outlier right now, and California is an especial outlier. I don't know how long California will hold out. I do think it will be the longest holdout, unfortunately. But isn't some of that up to us? Isn't some of that up to us? Because at the end of the day, it's our kids in these schools where this is being promoted at ground zero. It's really ground zero in the schools. You can see it from, if you follow what our state superintendent Tony Thurmond is doing, what the teachers unions are doing, what all their allies are doing, this is really, really being fought out in the schools and in the medical community. So on the medical front, we can object. I know I do. I just sent out an email to our county health department, for example, because they're putting out a flyer for pregnant, advertising something for pregnant women, and they're calling us pregnant women, pregnant people. And so I emailed the county health department, never heard back, but said, you know, I am a woman. I do not want to be called a pregnant person. We just have to object at every step that we can, because that's the only way we can defeat this. So anyway, did not mean to go on so long about that. We have a lot more to cover in our last 10 minutes. Please do call if you have any questions or comments. And we will be back right after these messages from our sponsors.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth McDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks kicking off the week in the green, with both the NASDAQ and S&P 500 notching record closes ahead of this week's two key market movers, May's Consumer Price Index, which will be released on Wednesday morning, while the Fed begins its two-day policy meeting on Tuesday, concluding with an interest rate decision on Wednesday afternoon. Shares of NVIDIA rose nearly 1% after its stock started trading on a split-adjusted basis. The leader in artificial intelligence chips, 10-for-1 stock split, took effect Friday after the closing bell. And shares of Apple fell 2% as the Tech Titans Worldwide Developers Conference gets underway and runs through Friday. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Amazon, and Home Depot. The Dow decliners, Apple, Visa, and McDonald's. The Dow rising 69 points, the NASDAQ up 59, S&P 500 up 14. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
All right, people, let's get this meeting started.
Where are the chairs?
Gone. Research shows standing meetings are quicker.
What research is that?
Topic one. CDW helped us deploy Mac Supercharged by Apple Silicon for the way we work now. So how's their speed?
Fast.
Battery life?
Long.
Cyber threat protection?
Strong.
Ownership costs?
Low.
Great. This meeting is...
adjourned. Wow, that was fast.
Yep, that's the research.
With Mac configured by CDW, a solution that works for everyone isn't just possible, it's powerful. Find out more at cdw.com/getmac.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Need help with your legal matter? Don't want to pay a retainer? Proper Legal in Templeton is here for you. My name is Carrie Koenig. I was born and raised in San Luis Obispo County, a Templeton High graduate and a California bar attorney. I developed ProPer Legal to provide attorney-prepared legal documents and legal guidance for self-represented individuals. No hourly billing expenses and no large retainer. Have you already received legal help and didn't get the help you needed? Don't worry. I have multiple years' experience practicing with local attorneys and judges and know what the courts want. Family law, guardianships, restraining orders, notary services, simple wills and trusts, deeds, criminal record cleanups, and more. Call for a complimentary 30-minute consultation. Proper Legal on Main Street in Templeton, 805-440-6271.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. As we close out this segment, I want to bring up this. This will be brief, but it was something that I had not thought of. It had slipped my radar. As you may know, we will be voting this November on a constitutional amendment that is being framed as basically it's titled the Freedom to Marry Initiative, and it is being billed is basically a repeat for Prop 8, if you remember that from 2008, when California voters decided against legalizing gay marriage. This is kind of being framed as a do-over because the leaders want gay marriage enshrined in the state constitution. So the wording of this amendment is basically so vague that it does completely abolish the definition of traditional marriage and opens it up to pretty much everything. So the example brought up by the California Family Council is that it basically could enshrine or would enshrine relationships like polyamory as a protected family structure. And the group basically warns that, quote, abolishing the definition of marriage poses significant risks to the well-being of families and children. Jonathan Keller, who is the president of California Family Council, came out with a statement on Friday saying, we are deeply concerned about the implications of ACA 5 for families and children in California. The absence of any clear definition of marriage is alarming and paves the way for the legalization of polygamy, child marriage, and incestuous relationships. Social science confirms that stable traditional marriages are vital for the well-being of children and society. The council goes on to say that basically proponents of ACA 5 are courting confusion because they're basically eliminating any clear boundaries, limiting the age, genetic relationship, or number of partners in a marriage. So the group says it opens the floodgates to disaster. We firmly believe that California's public policy should best support the health and stability of families, particularly the well-being of children, Jonathan Keller of the California Family Council said. Studies consistently show that the traditional family structure is the most effective model for raising healthy and well-adjusted children. Again, it's not really surprising that the amendment is this vague. It was my bad. I haven't really looked at it. I had not made the conclusions, drawn the conclusions that the California Family Council did after reading the language. But it is very much in keeping. I've talked to parents who have discussed children's sex ed curriculum, for example, in schools, and they say, you know, it was always meant to ultimately promote the nuclear family as a healthy life for children and for a future. And at this point, the nuclear family is kind of presented as the last option of a number of choices that can include promiscuity and pretty much any fringe lifestyle. So that is something to bear in mind as we look at. I mean, there's going to be a lot of initiatives to vote on this November, but that is something to bear in mind. And also probably, you know, again, when it comes to speaking to our legislators or pushing back on Bauer, you know, ask the authors of this amendment what they intend and what they intend with this proposal. We do have a caller coming in. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi. We are resilient souls for standing up for victims' rights, especially of human trafficking. And the proposition that you just talked about, 8, it also reflects back on what we've been trying to fight for, too, was that the legal marriage now in California is actually 0. We are one of 4, I think, in states in America that allow, don't really have many provisions to protect children being married. And also we have found that when children are married, a lot of times they lose their rights for any kind of protection against human trafficking sex, predator has the right to do that, and the child loses all protections with the police, the children welfare system, to be victimized and used and abused. So thank you for your awareness of Proposition 8, I think it is, coming up.
It's ACA 5, and okay. It's being framed as kind of a redo of Prop 8 from 2008. Can you elaborate a little more? Because I did not realize this about California. There's always stuff that you learn.
I could send you a couple different articles and also another nonprofit that are fighting for survivors. It's and children that are trapped in this. And yeah, so there's a case where a child of 14 was married, and then she was calling because she was being sex trafficked, and the police came and couldn't do anything about it. She didn't qualify for domestic violence because of her age, I think it was, and then also the CWS couldn't get involved. The police couldn't get involved because she's a consenting to the marriage. So that is, predators really want to have the age of consent non-existent, and then they pretty much have free reign over. So it's a power dynamic. You have somebody who is older, who is more experienced and takes authority, and then the victim really can be used and abused.
So does the marriage have to take place outside of California, and then the child can be brought here and is treated as a spouse, or does the state issue licenses?
Married in California.
So the state issues licenses to any age.
We don't have any law against the age of a child being married. Hmm. There's provisions, my understanding, trying to be safeguard, but there's no legal prohibitive age to get married.
And is this done in the name of religious tolerance? What's
there's
the
that too? But and culture, and but also we have pimps that are getting involved. You want me to, so.
Well, thanks for your call. Where can people learn more? Do you have a website?
Resilient Souls is www.resilientsouls.org, and Souls is with the S.
Okay, resilientsouls yeah. with an S .org. Thank you.
Yeah, we're aftercare for survivors of trauma, abuse, and sex trafficking, extortion.
All right. Well, thanks so much for that call. That was very sobering.
Thank you for your information, too.
Thank you. That was something that I wasn't aware of, but obviously the California Family Council in their statement did note that ACA 5 could pave the way for legalization of child marriage. So the fear is real. I will look into that before next week and find out a little more about where California's laws stand on this and what can be done. So we're pretty much at the end. I did want to note, thank you all for listening every week. I am nearing the end of my pregnancy, so a baby could come any week now. So I will be taking some time off, but probably not until the baby is born. So hoping to get through the end of this month at least, because there is always so much to cover, and I have some exciting guests scheduled through the end of the month. So Kevin will keep you all apprised and yes, hopefully we will continue for the next few weeks at least. Thank you for tuning in today, and every Monday you are listening to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. You can read my work all week long at my news organization, the Washington Free Beacon. That is www.freebeacon.com. Thanks, and I hope to see you all next week. Be well.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.